chapter 8. I taught Sunday school this morning in a kind of a prelude for this message, which we are looking at this morning. We'll be referring back to the Sunday school hour from time to time throughout this message. The Sunday school message had to do with the beginning of the ministry of Christ, when Christ began his ministry, and he began in the town where he grew up, where he was brought up, the Bible says. At the age of 30, he left that town, went down and was baptized by John the Baptist in Jordan, was taken into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Then he returned back home to Nazareth to announce his public ministry and fulfillment of the book of Isaiah chapter 61, that he was the fulfillment of it. His town did not accept him. His family was offended in him, and they tried the first attempt. They tried to kill him. He went back to Nazareth a second trip. We saw that this morning as well. And he spent the majority of his time up in the Galilean area in his public ministry. He would make trips up to Jerusalem and Bethany and down to the Jordan, Jericho, other places, Samaria. But he spent most of his time in public ministry up in the north. Now, Mark chapter 8, verse 22 is where we will begin. But before we begin, let us have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this beautiful Sunday morning. A little nippy and chilly, but thank the Lord for the beautiful sun and the comfort of this building where we can sit and be warm and in the presence of Thee. Warm our hearts today, we pray, in these challenging days in which we live, in this world and especially in our country. Take the Word of God and minister to our hearts today and change our lives more to the image of Thee each day that we live. Holy Spirit, be our teacher and guide today into the truth that You would have for us today. Bless Thy Word now to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 22 it says, "And He cometh to..." Now, there are different pronunciations. Some pronounce it Bethsaida. Some pronounce it Bethsaida. The other is, can't think how the other pronunciation is. Bethesda. Some pronounce it Bethesda. Bethesda, some pronounce it Bethsaida. But nevertheless, it was a town in the northern area of Galilee. And they doesn't say who they are, family, friends, community, whoever. They bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. So he goes to the city of Bethsaida, and as he arrives, there's people that bring to him a blind man. I've known a lot of blind people in my lifetime. Friends, close friends, blind people who never had the privilege of having eyesight in their human life. But those that I know are with the Lord now and they have perfect sight and vision. But I say to about those that were blind physically, they could see far better spiritually than most people that could see physically. They had a spiritual eye to see. Here's a man that's blind. And the city, they of the city, whoever they are, brought him to him with a request to touch him. Verse 23. This passage in verse 23 to 26 begins unusual and ends unusual. He took the blind man, by the hand and led, I want you to underline if you mark in your Bible. If you don't mark in your Bible, that's okay. I do. A lot of people don't. That's all right. And led him out of the town. Now, why did the Lord take the blind man and lead him out of the town? That's a very good question. That's unusual, extremely unusual. But we're going to find out here why. Now, if you would hold your finger there and mark and turn back with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. We saw this morning the city of in Sunday school, the city of Nazareth. That's one of the cities in the north to where he attempted his public ministry. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Why? Because they repented not. They repented not, according to his mighty works. What follows is a pronouncement of judgment upon those cities. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, and there's our town. There's our town. The same town that he came to, and a blind man was brought to him, and they asked him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Why? That town had the judgment of God pronounced upon it. A woe. That word W-O-E means judgment. Now I'm going to read on down here a few more in Matthew chapter 11. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works, watch this, if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, that's two Mediterranean seacoast cities, which would be modern day Lebanon in that area, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. If what I've done in your communities had been done up there on the seacoast, they'd all repented a long time ago. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, known as the town of Jesus, used to go to the Holy Land. There is still an area called Capernaum. There's nothing there but charcoal rocks. But at the entrance, there's a gate. And off to the right-hand side of that gate is a little hanging sign that says, Capernaum, the town of Jesus. He spent a lot of time there after he was rejected in Nazareth. Thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works had been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now, why, when he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and asked him to touch him, why did he take the man by the hand and lead him out of the town? Why? Because Bethsaida is a town with the judgment of God upon it. And he could do no mighty works there. We saw this morning in Sunday school, as he was in Nazareth and two trips there, he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. And he marveled. And they were offended, especially his own family was offended at him. When he returned and they began to rebuke him because he and his followers did not follow the tradition of the elders, they condemned him. And he told them, because of your tradition, you make the word of God have no effect. So in that northern region above the Galilean Sea were populated towns, villages, cities, Capernaum, Bethsaida, and others, where he did great and mighty works, but they repented not. It affected them not, and they condemned him. So when he went back to Bethsaida, and when the community asked him, help this blind man, he took the blind man by the hand and took him out of that town. Because he would not do a miracle inside. Listen to what I'm going to say to you this morning. He would not perform a miracle in a town he had judged. He would not manifest himself. He would not put himself on display. He would not show his power in a community that he has judged. Wow. So you see, there is grave consequences for not knowing who the person of God is. They called him the son of Joseph. The first trip, is not this the son of Joseph? The second trip, is not this the carpenter? Yes, he was raised in the home of Joseph, but no, Joseph was not his father. God was his father. And yes, he worked in a carpenter shop and did carpentry work for the first several years of his life until the age of 30. He built things. He's very good at it. And he doesn't need carpenter tools. If he wanted to, he could just speak it and there it would be. Because he created everything you see today. So there's the reason why he took the blind man out. People that are under judgment, countries that are under judgment of God, communities that are under the judgment of God, that have turned their back on God and said, we don't want God. We don't want any of it. We don't have time for this foolishness. God can do no mighty work there, but God can still work. God can do no mighty work there, but God can still do mighty works. Now, turn back with me, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 8. So the first thing we see is the town. The town. The second thing we see is the travel. I'm going to help you, sir, but we're going to make a little trip first. We're getting out of this cursed town. We're getting out of here. Come on. He grabbed him by the hand, and out they went. Travel to get help. Traveling with the Lord to get help. He took, in verse 23 of chapter 8 of the Gospel of Mark, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. We just look back in Matthew to see why. And we understand that if you were here for Sunday school. Now, these are unusual things. These are unusual things. What's he do to help this man? He could simply say, and he had done this prior, he said to a dead girl, "I say to you, my maid, rise." And she got up. He could just speak it. He spoke to a dead man in a cave that had been in there 4 days. He spoke to Lazarus and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And out of there, after 4 days in the grave, here comes Lazarus out of that grave. All he'd have to do is speak the power of the voice of the Son of God, and it would be fulfilled. That's all he'd have to do. A lot of things that Jesus did are symbolic. And if you have spiritual discernment to read between the lines, you can fill in the blanks. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit, how many of you would let somebody help you? You come to him and said, "Help me." And I said, "All right, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to spit in your eyes." Especially in today's society. Totally unusual. Totally out of practice. Normally he just speaks and it's done. But he's doing something here different. And he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him. So he spit. Another place, a blind man, he spit in the clay, dirt, and he made a paste, and he put paste on the eyes. There's all reasons for that. There's all symbolic meanings for that. Jesus never did a thing without a reason. So he asked him, "What do you see? What do you see? What's happened so far?" His spittle was on his eyes. And he looked up and said, "I see men. I see men." That's where people have to get their vision changed. There is a difference between his first look and his second look. And that's why there's two different occasions to give the man his sight. Remember, the man is living in a town that's absolutely, totally under the judgment of God. We just read it in Matthew. He's living in a community that's under the judgment of God. And so Jesus says, "Let's take a little trip outside the town they went." And as they got outside the town, Jesus just went up to him and spit in his eyes. He said, "Now what do you see?" "Well, I see men. They're tall. They're tall. And they are as trees walking." Now you've got to have spiritual discernment to understand what that means. Because there is an application there. There's an application there. Don't lose the value of the importance that Bethsaida is a community under judgment. Don't lose that importance. And don't lose the importance that Jesus purposely took the man by the hand and took him out of there. That's unusual. Totally unusual. Totally out of character. And then as he got him out and stopped, walked up and spit in his eyes and asked what he's seen, I said, well, I see men, but boy, they're big and they're tall and they're like trees. Now, what's the application of that? What did he say to Capernaum? Thou that exaltest thyself shall be brought down. Those northern Galilean communities were all in a basket of the judgment of God. Sorry, Chief. Sorry, Dave. Hope it's nothing serious. That community up in that area, that whole region where Jesus had spent all of his time and all of his miracles, he condemned because it never affected them. It never affected them. It didn't change their heart. It didn't change their life. It didn't change their communities. They were in unbelief, disbelief. They did not accept who he was. Many were offended at him. Many were absolutely and totally rejection of him. And because of that, that brought the judgment of God, the woe upon that whole region. And now Jesus is going to picture to the man. Here it is. Jesus is going to picture to the man what he's been living in. I'm going to show you. You've been blind. You've not been able to see. You've never met me. You have been handicapped. You have been isolated from society because of your handicap. But I want to show you by my actions what your community is like. I've experienced it. I've been here. I've ministered here. I've helped people here. But I want to help you beyond seeing physically. I want to help you to see spiritually. And I want you to understand the community that you've been living in all of these years. I want you to understand what they're like. They're like people that spit in your eye and think by that action they're actually helping you. People actually believe if I can degrade you, I can uplift myself. If I can bring you down, I can elevate myself up. And what did he see? The spittle caused him to see men in his community like big trees walking around. All the big people. All the big people. That don't care, and they'll spit in your eye in a heartbeat. They'll spit in your eye in a heartbeat. And spiritually speaking, when Jesus went there, spiritually speaking, symbolically, that's how they treated him. And matter of fact, at Calvary, down in Jerusalem, that's the very act they did. They spit upon him. That's how they treated him. They spit upon him. That spittle and that first vision is a symbolic application to show this man that's been blind all of his life, this is your community. This is your community. This is what they really are. This is the people, what they really are. Now, he saw men as trees. Trees are big, and trees grow. I want to tell you, my friends, today, there's been a lot of exaltation in our country. A lot of exaltation. A lot. If you don't have a spiritual discernment to see through what's going on in our country today, you'll be overtaken as this blind man was. You need to see America through the eye of God. You need to see this country through the eye of God. If you don't see this country through the eye of God, you have no clue what's going on. You got to have, that's the way Jesus acted, that's the way Jesus taught. Oftentimes, He wasn't clear because those unbelievers were never going to get the message. They were more blind than the blind man. They were far off worse than the blind man. And in this great country of America, the United States of America, and our honored flag that stands for the history of it, we have been overtaken by blindness. By blindness. And we are under the judgment of God. And people better wake up to that fact. Will Jesus still help people? Absolutely. Absolutely. Still help people. But you've got to come out of the system. You've got to come apart from the system. You've got to come apart from those big tall men that think they're trees. Think that you got to come apart from that. You've got to come out of that to see clearly. America is in darkness, danger, death looms on the thresholds of American shores. Death looms, danger, darkness. It's an ugly day for our country. I've told our church Wednesday night, stay out of it. Stay out of it. Stay out of it. I'm going to make one brief statement this morning. I said in Sunday school this morning, God is a God of consistency. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. I am a consistent God. You relied upon me yesterday, you can rely upon me today. And you can rely upon me tomorrow. I am consistent. I change not. This past week, we saw a horrible, horrific overtaking of our government building. Vandalism, breaking, destroying, destructive. And we condemn that 100%. We condemn it without any apology. It's wrong. It's damaging. It does nothing to further the cause of this country. But we also condemn the same activity in Portland, Washington, Seattle, Washington, other major cities where they did the same thing. That's called consistency. And many people that speak out this week and condemn it was absolutely silent back in the fall. Said nothing. Said nothing. That's not consistent. If we're going to condemn this week, we condemn those weeks. If we condemn this action, we condemn those actions. Or be quiet. I've often said the most wisest words to ever be spoken is to speak nothing at all. And it irritates and stirs my soul to see people rise up and condemn what went on. And we condemn it. It's absolutely lawlessness. No individual, even though it's the people's house, no individual or mob is permitted to go in and destroy and break and do what they did in Washington this week. Neither did they have a right in federal buildings out west. They had no right. Same mob. Same mob, same action. There was hundreds of thousands of innocent people in Washington who has a constitutional right to voice They have a constitutional right. They weren't involved in that. But listen to the news media, lump them all together. And listen to people get on Facebook and lump them all together. I absolutely am offended to be called a cultist. I am offended to be called a cultist. And where was your voice back in the summer and the fall when they were doing the same thing out west? My friends, this country is under judgment, and you that make such voices and such stupid things to say, you're as blind and in darkness as anyone could be. When a community's under judgment and they don't even know it, and Jesus said, I'll kind of show you a little bit what you grew up in. Since you've not been able to see, since you've not been able to observe, I'll show you what you grew up in. What do you see? Disrespect for people. Spit in their eye. Disrespect for human life. Disrespect for another person. Disrespect. I want to show you, since you've not been able to see, and you really don't know those people that are around you, and your town and your community that you grew up in, since you don't know that, I'm going to symbolize to you. I'm going to heal you. Before I heal you, I'm going to teach you. Because you need to know exactly what you have been a part of. I see men walking as trees. Abnormal. Now that the man's got the object lesson, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and notice it says, made him. In verse 24, he looked up. But in verse 25, made him look up. Boy, that's a vast difference. Now look up and see what you see. And he looked up and he was restored and saw every man. And look at that word now. I got it clear. I see it now. It's clear as crystal. That's spiritual discernment. And people today in this country is dark. They're blind. People that's been in church all their life that leave a trail behind them of destruction and a life behind them and a trail behind them, while at the same time they're smiling with white teeth and got a dagger in their hand, and you turn your back, you're going to get it. They're not Christians. And when they get around Christianity and when they get around spirituality, they become very uncomfortable and they get out of Dodge real quick. Because they're uncomfortable. They don't want to be around that. Spirituality will breed spirituality, and carnality will breed carnality. People who you're most comfortable with will show the condition of our hearts. He made him look up, and now he saw men. I see men for who they are now. They're not big trees. They're not elevated. I see man clearly now. Now here's the abnormal clothes. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town. You can go home, but don't go in the town. Evidently, he lived outside the town or lived in maybe a suburb or a village around the town or something. We don't know. All we know is he come to Bethsaida, a city under judgment. Neither go into the town. I don't want you to go back into town. Nor tell it to any in the town. I don't want you to go back in there and I don't want you to tell anybody. That's totally abnormal. The maniac that he healed that lived in the tombs at Gardena, he said, now go home and tell all your friends what great things the Lord hath done for you. This time, I don't want you going back in there. I don't want you going back in there. Why? They're under judgment. They're under judgment. They're under condemnation. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. So I don't want you going back in the town, and I don't want you telling anybody in the town what's happened. And that's when God Almighty, in the person of Jesus Christ, can act and work individually in human hearts, and the unsaved, the unbelieving, the cruel, dark people don't have a clue, and they never rejoice when somebody gets right with God, because they're in darkness. You know, people can find stuff to be negative and condemning and criticizing and all of that. Do you ever find anything coming out of their lips good? Positive? Encouraging? Strengthening? No, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There it is. The day Jesus began His ministry, the very day He came out of the wilderness and went to Nazareth, was totally rejected. He was called just the son of Joseph. And he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Went back. They called him the carpenter. He could do no mighty works there because of the tradition instead of truth. And as he traveled around that northern region up above the Galilean area, from town to town to town to town, and performed his mighty works and his great acts, they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't believe. And now they have the audacity, when it comes back to Bethsaida, hey, here's a man, help him. I'm going to help him, but it's not going to be here. Come on, son, let's go. Let's get out of this town, and I'll help you. Because this place is under the judgment of God. Does God still help people today? Absolutely. Absolutely. But before He can help us, He has to show us. Before I ever understood what God did for me, I had to understand what God saved me from, so that I could see the path forward. Spiritual discernment to understand the day in which we live. Our country is under the judgment of God. As of today, you mark it down. Our country is under the judgment of God. And what's coming is not going to be pretty. What's coming is not going to be pretty. We're under the judgment of God. And all I can say, friends, is this. God still helps people. Because that's the love of God. That's the person of God. I change not. I'm consistent. I may not do it where you want it, but I'll help you. Anybody that wants help, out there on Facebook, He'll help you. He'll help you. He'll help you. But I want to put everybody on warning this morning. We are officially under the hand of the judgment of God. And people are out celebrating, whippy-doing, and thinking everything is great and hunky-dory. I'm going to picture it like this. I've told a couple people this week this illustration, and they have went, when it came time for Christ to go to Calvary, Scripture to be fulfilled, there was one of the 12 apostles who was prophesied in the Psalms that he would betray Christ. He would betray Him. And Judas did, and sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. just exactly the way Zechariah said it would be. 30 pieces of silver. Sold his soul for money. He wasn't really against Christ. He just loved money. He wasn't really against Christ. He just loved money. And he was a thief. And he stole. And so he went into the religious authorities and said, "How much will you give me? How much will you give me? How much can I get if I betray him to you?" And so they agreed for 30 pieces of silver. And Judas filled his pockets and out the door he went, whippy-dooing, and wow, I've got money in my pockets, and it's great. But by the next day, he saw what he had done and the result of it and what was going to happen by his actions. And man, he took that money and brought it in and threw it on the floor. And he said, "Hey, no, stop this. This is not what I had planned. This is not what I wanted done. No, I'm not going to be a part of that." And cast the money back. And that religious guard laughed at him and said, "What's that to us? Too late now, buddy. We used you to get what we wanted." He went out and hung himself. And there are people in this country that sold their soul for money. Justice Roberts, Mitch McConnell, many on the Republican side have sold their soul, from the billionaire Soros and the Zuckabees and all the other bees. They've sold their soul out to sell this country down the tube. But one day when they wake up and realize what they have done, they're going to be like Judas and they're going to say, "Oh, no, that's not with us. Go live with your money. Enjoy your money." That's exactly what happened, and that's exactly what's continuing to happen. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And people have sold their souls out, and they don't know what's coming. Even to this day, they have no clue. Now, that'll make several mad on Facebook, and I'll probably get some angry faces when I check later. That's no problem. I had an angry face this week at people that put stuff out there. That's not consistent and say they're Christians. Hey, this is going to divide. This is going to divide. People putting stuff on Facebook, what they're doing and putting stuff on Facebook is inciting rioting. People that's putting stuff on Facebook, they're not being fact-checked. People that's stating stuff and putting stuff out there on Facebook, they're not being fact-checked. But they, by their language, is inciting rioting and division and chaos. Stay out of it and be quiet. Now, that's all I'm going to say. That's where we are in America today. And we're going to take it a day at a time. Because any day now in the eastern sky, our Lord is coming. And He's going to take us out of this chaotic mess. They can have it. They're going to have it. And all of the wealth and the money and the power and everything with it, they can have it. I don't want any part of it. I'm ready to go. I've got my bags packed. I'm ready to go right now. There's nothing on this earth that I want except the pulpit. While I still got a breath to breathe. There's been so many Judases that have committed treason. It's going to be accountable to God someday. It's going to be accountable to God someday for what they've done to destroy this country, to finish this country off. God have mercy on their soul for the love of money. Love of money. America is in the darkest hour it's ever known. Dangerous. And what makes it dangerous are people like this past week that got on Facebook and put statements on there that's inciting division, inciting rioting. They are intimidating and trying to intimidate people. They're just as bad as the rioters out west and the rioters in the east. They're just as guilty with their verbal garbage out on social media. Stop it. Get out of it and leave it alone. Amen? Amen. Well, we'll let you out early this morning. That's an unusual. We had an unusual message with an unusual ending.